Part 24, Chapter 5. About an hour before the firing, the orbiting group of ships had just come over the horizon that put them into position to view the American compound. A small Hovind spy craft in the orbit ahead of them had already reported some activity there earlier in the day. The report had only said that in the middle of the night, a group had been seen on infrascreens entering the compound area, and that the group had vanished, leaving only the usual sprawled about and apparently asleep night guards. The scanners of the orbiting combined force were now picking up something unusual down there on the approaching horizon. There seemed to be a more than normal number of people at the site. There was a local snowstorm in progress down there, and infrabeams were a bit blurred. The attention of the combined force was not yet fixed on the compound, as it shortly would be. The command network of view screens was occupied by an interview that was going on. When Half-Captain Rojadieter Snowell had gone back to Tolnep for reinforcements, he had contacted his uncle, Quarter-Admiral Snowleader. Rojadieter believed in keeping profit in the family. The Quarter-Admiral had come along gladly with a flotilla of 5 ships, the largest of which was the Terrify-class, battle-plane-launching, capital ship, Capture. Snowleader had not become a Quarter-Admiral without some skill, and he had brought part of that skill with him. A reporter. Roof Arsbogger considered himself the ace reporter of the Tolnep Midnight Fang. Even among news media of other systems, the Fang was envied as the very epitome of inaccuracy, corruption, and biased news. It always printed exactly what the government wanted, even while pretending to be anti-government. And Roof Arsbogger enjoyed the reputation of being the most poisonous reporter on a staff that specialized in them. The interview was being conducted by Arsbogger on the Capture, and was addressed to Half-Captain Rojadieter Snowell. It was just a background interview, and things were dull, so others were listening in. They had various opinions. The Quarter Admiral was not well-liked. Other commanders contested Snowleader's contention that he was the senior commander and therefore the head of the combined force, and that he was the uncle of the even less popular Rojadieter Snowell made him even less acceptable. They detested Snowell.
"Now getting back to the man on this counterfeit one-credit banknote,"
Arsbogger was saying.
"Would you say that he was dishonest?"
"Oh, worse,"
replied Snowell.
"Would the description, 'he is a known pervert,' fit him?"
"Oh, worse,"
replied Snowell.
"Good, good. We must keep this to a totally factual interview, you understand. How would 'he steals babies and drinks their blood' do?"
"Fine, fine. Exactly."
"I think you mentioned, when you filed dispatches, that you had several times met this... what is his name? This defiler of established governments? Tyler? Yes, that you met him in personal combat."
Other commanders were hearing this, and Rojadieter had not thought it would become public property. He had reckoned without the publicity hunger of his uncle.
"Not exactly,"
said Rojadieter quickly.
"I meant to say that I tried, but he always ran away."
Quarter Admiral Snowleader's voice came from the background behind Arsbogger.
"But he won't get away again."
"Now, in your opinion, Rojadieter, do you truly think this is the one?"
The small, gray man had been watching all this on his view screens. He detested reporters, and this Roof Arsbogger had earned his particular dislike. The reporter's fangs were stained nearly black. There were blotches of some disease on his face, and one could almost smell his unwashed condition over the view screen. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you looked at it, his courier ship had come in just yesterday. It had brought lots of odds and ends, but among them was the clear-cut statement that the one had not been found. Along with that, there was a prize addition. The 100 million credits originally offered by the Hovin Interrelated Confederation of Systems had been doubled by the Bolbod Equality Empire. The small gray man did not know what was going on in other sectors, much less other universes, but he could suppose that the same mad scramble was in progress. The courier dispatch box contents, when viewed as a whole, said that these were indeed very strange and troublesome times, that a problem like this had not existed in any past history they were aware of. And there had been some hints about the vital necessity of his presence, where he could do some good, instead of out here sailing around a 12th-rate rim star's only planet. There was no direct criticism, of course. There were just hints, an undertone. But actually, it would not matter whether he were home or not. Unless some solution presented itself, the chaos that was going to ensue would be so vast that neither he nor others could hope to control it. He was going on, listening absently to this asinine reporter interview an asinine military mind, when his bridge buzzer sounded and his watch officer's face appeared on the screen.
"Your Excellency,"
said the watch officer,
"there is something going on down in that capital city area. The infrabeams are scrambling. We cannot tell what is happening. There are no clear pictures."
The interview cut off suddenly. Other commanders seemed to have noticed it. The Hockner commander appeared on the small gray man's screen.
"Your Excellency, I believe you said that was the central seat of government. We are getting pictures of massed troops and recordings of excessive heat. In your opinion, is this political?"
The small gray man looked at his own screens of the area. Bad as they had been before due to a local storm, they were incredibly bad now. One couldn't make out a thing. Some sort of interference was blasting them off the air. Wait! That jagged traveling line on the screen. A teleportation trace! Hastily, the small gray man thought of an answer.
"I believe,"
he said conservatively to the Hockner,
"that it is probably political in some connected way. All the information that..."
His screens almost caved in. There was a tremendous flare, then nothing. A squawk horn was going.
"Screen overload. Screen overload."
Oh. Good heavens. You never got that, except in a major battle area. The small gray man rushed to his port, as he knew the commanders must be doing. He stared down. There was a babble of incredulity on the remaining voice channels from the other ships. The storm there had almost been exploded away. A fireball was climbing heavenward. Spreading, rolling masses of coiling smoke and flame were rising to incredible heights. Daylight was dimmed by the flash. It looked like the world had been torn apart.